Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Saturday Morning Cartoons. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining me today, DC area's Sean Paul Ellis. Say hello, Sean.
Hi, David. How are you?
Oh, you're such a sweetheart. Doing pretty well, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, too.
Also joining us today from the left coast, currently chewing on shaved asparagus of all things, is the one and only Matt Barron. How are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, that was brilliant. This is going well. So as you guys saw in the opening sequence there, we're going to talk about a little-known TV series from the way back of 1984 called Turbo Teen. Hopefully you like that that intro, because we certainly fell in love with it. We watched a few episodes, as we plan to do in the future on this podcast, of some completely insane cartoons, maybe some live-action TV shows from yesteryear that need a little bit of love and appreciation these days. So who wants to try to wrap up what the hell Turbo Teen is all about in a nutshell and give us a synopsis?
Dave, I feel like if at any point in time somebody was to tell me in the 80s, it's a teen that crashes into a government laboratory facility, gets his car mixed in with a molecular transfer ray, and becomes a car himself, only to go ahead and decide that he wanted to fight crime, I would have been like, how do we greenlight this immediately? Like, I will begin drawing this right away.
Well, you would have fit in quite well with the producers of 1984 over at Ruby Spears Productions, because that's exactly what they did. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the popularity of Knight Rider on TV or anything like that. Nothing to do with that at all. This is just completely original content.
I mean, but I feel like it was in that age where, like, you know, because originally when I saw this, I did not think it was Ruby Spears. I did not think that they had produced this. I thought it was like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, and I was a little bit confused at first. I was just like, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, they had so many hits of different cartoons that were going on. I mean, I really thought that at some point somebody was like, do you want to just make something like absolutely crazy and give it a shot? And they were just like, absolutely.
Let's start with Turbo Teen. Yeah.
Let's start with Turbo Teen. And
it's, you know, it's interesting you say that, Sean, because when I was watching it the first 5 minutes of that episode that we saw, I immediately went to saying, you know, this has got to be Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think.
Just the style of animation, you know, just the kind of, you know, middle school style writing. It was just smacked of Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, and we will get into that, too. There are some amazing examples of quality control in the animation department here.
I've written down a bunch of examples.
Yeah, there's some good stuff, guys. So I think we've only been able to scrounge up like 3 episodes. For some reason, a lot of them are in German. I feel like that's probably the David Hasselhoff Knight Rider connection. So if you speak in, if you sprechen the Deutsch, then enjoy Turbo Teen in German. But yeah, so we went and saw 3 episodes and are going to bring them to you today and bring them to your attention if you have not seen this gem of Americana. So where do you guys want to start? I mean, we kind of know from Sean's description what the hell this show is supposed to be about. But the real hook, it's a fucking kid that turns into a car.
I think that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
What government facility, all right, is at the bottom of a cliff? First and foremost, just from watching the intro, what teen gets so scared at lightning, is driving his car and gets so scared at a lightning bolt that he drives off a cliff into a poorly made government facility?
It's a much safer decision. Like, yeah,
exactly. I mean, I think my biggest concern is that this kid gets merged with his car. And we should also explain the conceit that, like, if Turbo Teen, if Brett Michaels, Brett Matthews.
No, I like Brett Michaels.
Let's go Brett Michaels. That would make this much crazier.
So if Brett Matthews gets exposed to anything that's hot, temperature-wise, he turns into Turbo Teen.
Yeah, this is a great, whoever came up with this in the writer's room, fucking genius. Because from there on out, for every episode, and granted there were only 13, they had to come up with, well, how do we get him hot at this point so he can turn back into the car? And then to Sean's point, right, how does he turn back into a boy again?
So it's the opposite.
If he gets exposed
to anything that's cold, he automatically turns back into Brett Matthews. I feel like every episode was them trying to come up with excuses, and they're just like, how do we get this guy hot and how do we get this guy cold? Like, and that's, it just volleys back and forth of them trying to, I mean, the episode that we saw, I think it's like episode 7, Video Venger, all right? the initial premise is that a kid is ordering a slice of pizza.
Just some nerdy kid, not a regular, kid in an arcade. Could have been you or me or Matt, yeah.
Brett's dog, Rusty, barks at the kid, scares the crap out of him, and he throws the pizza, this hot slice of pizza. It hits Brett in the face. He immediately turns into Turbo Teen.
I mean, the thing that really, like, killed me from the beginning in that episode was, like, for, you know, everybody who didn't know he was Turbo Teen, wouldn't that be one of the most horrifying experiences of your life?
You would think that these people in D.C., it's not even like a fictional city. It's D.C. Yeah. It's Washington, D.C. They seem okay with it. It's like, oh, shit, that kid just got hit in the face with scalding pizza. I hope he's a, what the fuck, he's a car? And then the car stays there, and he's like, hey, man, plug me into the arcade machine. I'm just going to keep playing. I'm a car.
They plug him. So his, we should say that also, yes. Buddy is Patty. She is a blonde, and she is a reporter. She's always trying to get
a junior reporter, right. Much like April O'Neil.
Junior reporter. And then his buddy Alex, who is a mechanic.
He's like a weird, well, let's get this out of the way. He's the token black guy, but he's also like the mechanic / computer whiz, in air quotes, electrician.
He's like a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he is. They just plug him in literally wherever they can.
Right.
Yeah. Later in that episode, when they were in the base, and he's like explaining that technical process for hacking the computer, I was like, "God, that is both wrong and racist. Like, it's so bad.
It's so good," is what you meant to say. Because he just makes like a rhyme that makes no sense. He's like, "The anode's connected to the cathode. The cathode's connected to the diode." And then he pushes a button, and just everything blows up. So it's like MacGruber or something in there. But yeah, let's go.
The button and you find him immediately.
Well, I mean, earlier in that episode, before they... So, what happens in the Video Avenger episode is that Brett is playing this arcade game. And he gets evidently, like, a high score.
Sure.
And as a result, this, like, paramilitary group that is based in Washington, D.C., under the radar, completely under the radar. Government doesn't know that they exist.
Right.
They now remember this show aired during 84 to 85. And so we were in the middle as the United States of the Cold War. And so this paramilitary group is wearing all red and yellow. Like they look very like Soviet Union during that time. And they have these giant like tanks that are called robot blasters. It's basically just a tank with a drill on it.
Yep.
And somebody is like, oh god, somebody actually got a high score on this video game. We should release the robot blasters right now.
I don't want to stop you there because I don't want to get into the plot too much of this because it's heavy plot, guys. These plots really make you think. But I want to go back real quick to the
last Starfighter.
It basically was,
fucking Last Starfighter.
No, we can definitely get back to the plots of these crazy things. I want to go back to his transformation first of all, because we got to talk more about the hot transformation and then the cold transformation, because I think we've got some favorites. The pizza to the face might have been the best. We might have shot our wad with that one, because that's pretty damn good. Did you guys have any other favorites, just from the three that we watched, where he transforms at least a dozen times?
My favorite was the one when he's in the hotel room later in that episode, and he turns like he's just in a hotel room and his parents try to come in, and was it like he spilled like hot water or like coffee on himself?
Yeah, I think
something?
He was like making a pot of coffee and he's like, well, gotta do this. And then he just splashes it like in his face and just turns into the car.
Spilled coffee.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, see, mine. Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Oh, just his parents are just like, that's the moment that they choose that they want to come into the room. It's perfect. It's brilliant.
Yet they never know. You never hear a half-ton car hit the ground or fall down the steps.
Everybody, he transforms everywhere. And his parents are still fucking oblivious to this.
And the kids don't seem to like worry that his body is being stretched into like disgusting proportions and being turned into an actual car, which we'll get to that in a bit.
Inside of him all the time.
So gross. Everything is so gross when you think about it. Matt, did you have a favorite moment of hot cold transformation?
Yeah, mine by far was the Lincoln Memorial transformation. Oh. Like the human in the front, car in the back, like going back to the terror that transformation would hold on the public, like.
So tell people about that, because I don't think anybody's seen that yet. I know the scene you're talking about, but give them a little.
Okay. So in that scene, who is it? Major Master, I think.
Sure.
The guy, whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah.
But so he hits Turbo Teen with a freeze ray on the front of the car, and the back of the car is hanging off of the back of the edge of the Lincoln Memorial. So because of the cold on the front half of Turbo Teen turns back into Brett Matthews, but the back is still the car. So he's got to try to get back to full car. So he's dragging himself, like, stretched out, like, 3 to 4 lengths of what an actual car, be a Turbo Teen or otherwise, would be. He's dragging himself down the Lincoln Memorial, starts sweating, turns back into the car.
Because thank God, because that was nightmare-inducing. Just to watch him, it was something out of, like, Silent Hill. It was so disturbing. My favorite I think I have two favorite, just completely insane. You could tell that, like, they were coming up with them in the writer's room. The one is where they get kidnapped by the, you know, by Major Masters and his people. And they're like, well, now that we got you here kidnapped, you can at least do some chores. And he, like, the guard pushes him a bucket of hot water and a mop and then leaves because he obviously doesn't know how Turbo Teen's powers work. So Brett's like, well, I guess I'll do this again. And he steps into the bucket of hot water and he's like, whoa, that's hot mop water. And then they, like, take the mop and wring it over his head. Because stepping into there wasn't enough, because like Baron just said, like, you don't want to just be half a car, because that's just a freak show. So then he turns into a car in the middle of this jail cell. The other good one was they're, like, running through the streets or something, and he needs to turn into a car and get him the hell out of there. So they run into a beauty salon, and they put his head under one of the crazy, those crazy, like, cone hair dryers. You know, there's women on either side of him, like, reading the paper, getting their hair done. He turns into a fucking car in the middle of the beauty salon. Nobody bats an eye. Nobody even cares. He just drives right out the front door. Everything is, like, made to his proportions in the show, by the way. I thought that was an interesting design choice.
My favorite thing, Dave, about what you just mentioned was the fact that, like, a majority of him transforming, like, whether it's in the video arcade, the hair salon, there are people around. Oh, yeah. Like, there are, like, still shots of, like, people that are around, and nobody reacts to a single transformation. Like, nobody reacts to this boy turning into a nightmare car, and then, like, before they're, like, morphing, like, his face stretching out into the hood of a vehicle.
Yeah.
Like, nobody bats an eye, and I wonder how much of it was just, like, yeah, well, I mean, this is just the reality of the world that they all live in. Or I wonder if it was just like, we don't have enough money for reaction.
That's 100% what it was. Like, oh, we could pay to animate these people with looks of horror and calls to 911, or they can just stay there in a still frame. Let's do
Although
that.
I feel like that would be a totally different show if it's just Turbo Teen changing and just citizens reacting to him changing. What the hell is going on? And just people freaking out and losing their mind at this nightmare boy car.
I mean, at one point, he changes more or less in front of an entire, like, homecoming crowd. you know, just a gymnasium full of kids. He starts breakdancing, and he's like, as he's still breakdancing, as a kid, mind you, he's breakdancing, because it's 1984. He's breakdancing, he's like, whoop, can't stop dancing, but I'm starting to get heated up in here. And I'm actually breakdancing right now as I'm talking about it, so I'm worried I'm going to transform. But then he, like, makes his way outside and, like, transforms into a car while still dancing. When he does turn into a car, still breakdancing, because you have to just keep going. You just have to. You can't stop once the music takes you like that. That was a pretty amazing scene.
So here's my question. Like, how does Brett Matthews...
TT.
Get, how does Turbo Teen, how does TT, how does he get clean? Like, he can't shower. Like, I mean, he'd have to take a cold shower all the time, right?
I guess he has to, man. That's the price you pay for being your own car.
You turn into Turbo Teen and then go through, like, a car wash.
Now, at the same time, he never has to parallel park. So, I mean, that's kind of nice. You never have to worry about it. He doesn't have to pay for parking anywhere. There's some perks to being Turbo Teen. I mean, yeah, there's some downsides.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, I should preface all of this with saying, like, I loved watching Turbo Teen. I also could not have been more frustrated watching Turbo Teen, just because of, like, how bad it actually is. But I loved it. I realized I also hate being in a vehicle. Like, I hate driving in a car and having to go anywhere. But I don't necessarily think that it's me being in a car. It's me having to find parking, like, in the DC area.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The Dodge Lightning next time, crash into a scientist's lab, yeah. and problems are solved.
If I could get to where I was going and then magically turn back into a person, like, I would love that. That would be my dream. Brett Matthews is living my dream.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, we've talked about this transformation, so maybe, Matt, you can walk us through there, but go ahead and say what you're going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, so two things about the transformation. Yeah. One, in the episode with Major Masters, when they go into the pool, I think it was probably in, like, I don't know, maybe the first 5 minutes of that, weren't they still all in the car once they hit the pool?
Those like, continuity points are just out the window with this show, because it's like, oh, yeah. If I turn back, you're going to be inside my liver, and that's going to be awkward for everyone.
Yeah, so I just pictured, you know, some sort of Lovecraftian horror once they, like, you know, turn into some, like, human centipede style thing. But
there's got to be some fanfic for that, I would imagine. There's got to be Turbo Team disgusting fanfic. And it's
just got to be so graphic. but then the other thing is like, what happens to, like, all of the organs when he goes from human to car, and then all the mechanics when he goes from car to human?
It's like, a question for the ages, and we will definitely talk about that here, because they show the graphic transformation. The worst part, it's not his ass turning into a giant trunk, which is hilarious to begin with. It's not his hands swelling to disgusting proportions and turning into rubber tires, his hands and feet. It's not even his face being stretched ungodly into the hood and grill. His teeth become the grill, by the way, which is amazing, of the front of this car. Once you start to think about it, it really is terrifying what else is going on to this poor kid's body. So I want to talk about what you think becomes what, because it's all terrible.
Okay, so I'm going to go spine goes camshaft. I'm going rib cage, probably some sort of engine block, you know, piston situation. You know, but it's all the soft organs that are the real problem, like the lungs. What's that? You know, you can't, like, turn anything.
Yeah, lungs become his windshield wiper fluid.
That doesn't even make sense. It's like his...
It's a show where a boy turns into a car,
no,
Dave.
Come on. We can do this.
God, your windshield fluid smells like bile. Oh, my God.
That would be the worst. The worst. I don't think they've ever shown him, like, gassing up either, which, I mean, that just invites a whole list of questions like, what's your gas tank? How are you filling up? What happens if you turn back into a boy while someone's gassing up your car? There's a whole laundry list of things that are just completely terrible. Like, is his skin the upholstery? Did he go like a Holocaust German on that? Like, is it? I don't even know. I'm good with Baron's sort of like skeleton framework for the car. You see his hands and feet turn into the tire, so that's good. So obviously his arms and legs are like the axles of the car, which makes sense. Yeah.
But Dave, let me. I'll jump in and just say you're curious to know where his genitals.
I am.
Turn
I really are. Well, you don't want them hanging, you know. You really don't want them hanging.
I mean, do you think maybe they could be like fuzzy dice?
I was thinking fuzzy dice from the rearview mirror, but you never get to see them. You know. I don't know if they're just because this is a two seater. Let's not get crazy. This is only a two seater, so you know he's not driving around. He's not a sedan. He's not like a stretch limo or anything ridiculous. He's just a two seat coupe, Trans Am sports car, kind of hybrid. So it's nothing too crazy, kids.
Oh, God. I just got a great image of, you know, what if he was like a truck and his sack was like actual truck nuts?
I was thinking that. I was thinking truck nuts. So every time you see truck nuts on the road, you're probably...
I'm thinking, could that be Turbo?
You're probably following a boy who turns into a car. So you might want to call 911 if you're following truck nuts. Because something's wrong. Something is wrong there for a lot of reasons. So, yeah, if you have, if anybody's listening and you want to suggest some anatomy / automotive comparisons, feel free to let us know. But, yeah, let's talk about his powers kind of as a car, too, because he's not just a regular car. He can do all sorts of things that don't make any kind of sense, even in this world. All sorts of stuff. He's got the normal car stuff going on. You know, he gets people place to place. He can go, you know, I don't even know if they have like a speedometer on him. I don't know how fast he can outrace like some helicopters. We can talk about his rival in a little bit, Dark Rider, the monster truck driven by a character voiced by Frank Welker, who just, I don't even think, gives a shit on this show, which I can't blame him.
Which we should say, Frank Welker is the voice of, he was Megatron back in Transformers. He was Fred in Scooby-Doo. He was Jabberjaws in Jabberjaws. And he was also, more notably, Dr. Claw in Inspector Gadget.
Yes, personal favorite of mine. Yeah, and that guy's still kicking, too. So he's still doing a lot of the Transformers spinoffs. He does a lot of creature voices and a lot of... You've definitely heard him, even if you've never watched Turbo Teen, which I'm assuming, other than the three of us, there's probably another, like, maybe six of you out there. You've heard Frank Welker. He does everything. So maybe there's a possibility we can get him to come back, do a Turbo Teen reunion show, and and do this thing right.
Oh, God, I have to write the Turbo Teen reunion show because it's going to be fucking messy.
Well, Robot Chicken, actually, they did a minor one. Did you guys watch that little clip
that
they did? Yeah, that was pretty good. We won't spoil it here, but yeah, for fans or people who have seen the show once, like us, definitely check out the Robot Chicken spoof on that, because it's pretty damn funny.
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's delightful.
It's delightful.
But yeah,
Robot Chicken.
Speaking of delightful, let's get back to Turbo Teen and his powers as a car. So he's got, Sean, you were talking about this offline earlier. You're very curious about his gear stick, and that is not a euphemism unless you want it to be. But you're very curious about his gear stick.
Not at all. There's just there's a lot of times where, like, a part of his power is that, like, he has, like, these turbo boosters, and I think it's in the episode Daredevil Run, where, like, the turbo shift, like the gear shift, it's like it looks like it's in, you know, maybe drive, but then it, like, drops down into, like, a lower gear. And then just, like, there's, like, and to indicate that he is now, like, in turbo mode, there's, like, a little, like, flashing thing that just goes turbo.
Oh, yeah, just and, like, screams right at you, turbo,
that's,
yeah.
That's what allows him to, like, launch off of, like, a raised drawbridge and attach himself to a helicopter that is on top. That's what gives him the leverage and the boost to get to that helicopter is this turbo, like, gear shift, which is, I mean, it's amazing. Because he uses... is it in a couple episodes in Avenger, when they're being followed by those robot blasters, he drives up the side of a wall and then flips onto the back of one of the robot blasters, and that's how they like disable that one robot blaster, is that Alex gets out of it after making the comment. He goes, I wish I could get my wrench on his battery, and like, which I feel like every line that Alex ever had must have been written by the same guy who wrote, like, all the terrible kitschy lines for Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze and, like, Batman and Robin. Like, they are just so terribly one-off and, like, non sequitur. But I love to hate them. But, I mean, he has this Turbo Teen has this ability to just drive and boost anywhere using that turbo gear shift.
Yeah, he's got an incredible control over that car. Now, granted, it is his own body, but I got to assume he's maybe, what, like a 16, 17-year-old kid? He's only been driving. Maybe he had a learner's permit, but he's only been driving for about a year and a half. This kid is pretty damn good. I mean, he can go up and down steps. He can go up and down the sides of buildings. He can land on all four tires with a little assistance from his little turbo boost toots. He's pretty good, you know? I mean, if you need... Okay, here's a scenario for you.
You need to stop and just be like, Dave, you understand how cars work?
No, this is how cars work.
This is how cars
work. Just like they do at Turbo Teen. I don't understand what your problem is. My car always hangs off of the side of the helicopter by its tires. And then winches him into the ground by his axle. Because that shit happens.
Because Patty throws a grappling hook.
I do love the world of, like, 1980s, 90s cartoons, because there are grappling hooks everywhere. I've never seen one in real life. Everywhere in cartoons. Everybody's got a grappling hook. And I want to live in that world again. It's a fantastic world.
I mean, Matt and I carry grappling hooks everywhere.
Oh, shit. Do you guys really?
Yeah, did you not get that memo, dude?
Oh, no, I didn't. Well... my birthday's coming up, so, you know.
Treat yourself.
Oh, treat yourself. Oh, I have to buy it for my own birthday. Wonderful.
Yeah, you got to buy it for your own
birthday. I'm going to get Turbo Teen engraved on it.
It's part of the bar mitzvah process, my friend.
Maybe that explains why I missed it.
grapple hook into the side of the synagogue for the Torah reading. Wow. Love it.
No, it's more a grappling hook is more of a metaphor at that point because you have to grapple with becoming an adult.
Yeah, and I mean this, like we said earlier, this show is very deep. So things like, you know, grappling with your real struggles of being a teen who turns into a car, that stuff is very, very present. You know, if you need, I don't know, here's a synopsis. I don't know if it's ever going to come up in real life, but if you need to get, like, I don't know, a key witness from one city to another.
Thank you. I love this.
Maybe she has to be to court by a certain time. Or these criminals are going to, like, walk scot-free. I mean, maybe what you should do is you should organize a street race. I'm just spitballing here. A street race from one city to another. Maybe start at the city that she's in. Maybe end at the city that the court is in. I don't know why they're 100 miles apart, but whatever. This is just, you know, just off the top of my head scenario. And then maybe put her in one of the race cars, unbeknownst to the criminals. And then guess what? When the guy gets there and wins the race, she shows up at court. I think that's a good idea. Maybe we should get Turbo Teen involved in this. What do you think?
I loved everything about this episode. It's called Daredevil Run.
Yes.
And I loved everything about this episode because it is the worst. It's pretty bad. So they're like Dave said, they're transporting this girl. I think my favorite part is that this is the episode that you mentioned that has the beauty salon transformation. Yes. Where he goes under like the hair dryer. They are trying to get this key witness to this courtroom. And there's like a deadline. They have to be there by like, I think it's like a, is it like 10?
It's 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Get her there by 10 a.m.
On the dot.
Because under most circumstances, if a key witness arrives a minute late, the judge can be like, absolutely not. I will not hear this testimony from a late person. So my favorite thing about this is that she's trying to convict this villain called the Dragon.
Yes.
Right. And so my favorite thing is I was thinking about this morning and I was losing my mind. All right. Turbo Teen gets her, like, she is inside Turbo Teen. They drive into the courtroom, like into the courthouse.
It's a drive up courthouse. Courtroom. Yeah.
The only thing that the judge says is order in the court. Doesn't even acknowledge that there's a car in the courtroom. Doesn't even care. But here's the best part, all right, is that she thanks Turbo Teen and everybody in the car, and she just goes, you know, I wish that there was something I could do. And Alex just goes, say you'll meet me after the trial for some pizza.
For some pizza.
And like, for some pizza. And like, she's like, you can count on it, which is like beautifully 80s. But the best part is that she gets up on the stand. The judge swears her in, all right? And then she says, you know, I do. She goes, I, you know, promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. And then she looks at Turbo Teen and just goes, well, maybe not the entire truth. And then winks at him. I was like, you just perjured yourself. You just committed perjury. Like, you, everything that, like, the entire conceit of this episode
out
to get
window.
You here, out the window,
gone.
You dummy. Like, what have you done?
And that judge, he's like, well, I'll give you some slack because you were 30 seconds late, but you just done perjured yourself.
Committed perjury.
Makes zero sense. So nothing about this show makes sense. I mean, he's driving around without a driver in the driver's seat for 90% of the time because his idiot friends are off doing other stuff. Nobody seems to care. Nobody's calling that one in. My personal favorite might have been when they were hiding from Dark Rider, who I don't know. I mean, maybe the rest of the series, the 13 episodes, explains this. I don't know why Dark Rider is after them. He is clearly not a stable individual because for half of one show, he's like, I need to go get this car and find out these kids who are driving it. Halfway through that show, he just decides, without any sort of evidence, maybe that kid turns into a car because this is like a precedent that apparently exists in this world. And then
the thumbtack and the sneaker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So there was evidence, which immediately leads you to the conclusion that a teenager turns into a fucking car. Anyway, he gets that revelation, and then he doesn't care. He decides to quite literally go turn dogs into wolves with some sort of magic potion. And I'm not even making that up. Like, I can't explain it. I don't remember why that happened, but that's exactly where the episode goes. Baron, what were you going to say?
I love how the thumbtack gives it away, and yet, like, dozens and dozens of eyewitness testimony would not have validated the fact that he turns into a car. Thumbtack? dead giveaway. Car in a courtroom, totally oblivious.
That is an amazing point. That is an amazing point. But you're not Dark Rider, man. You don't know. He's got intuitive powers. You have no idea.
I know. And with a name like Dark Rider, I mean, something tells me that your, you know, love affair with cars goes far beyond anything that is sanctioned or appropriate in society.
Well, so. let's talk about cars, like
not even cars. He's just driving around in a monster truck.
Yeah, very
all the time.
You know, inconspicuous giant blue monster truck. Just driving around the city.
Marty McFly style monster truck. That's what it reminded me of.
It's pretty amazing. I think I had that car as like a remote control car when I was a kid. Looked exactly the same. The Dark Rider mobile. My favorite part of the three series that we watched, though, there are so many just like weird little moments, little transitions that don't exist, like between different scenes, or just bizarre choices. So let me set this one up for you. You guys, I think, have seen this. Alex is in the car. Turbo Teen is the car at this point, and they're running away, driving away from Dark Rider. All right, they're trying to lose him in the streets. He keeps popping up in these alleys, and he sees them everywhere they go. Dark Rider's right there. They can't get away from him. Finally, they drive into like this industrial area, and they find this little alcove that's completely dark. It's basically like a car lift, but they get in there and they get away from him. Now, Turbo Teen can talk to Alex while he's a car because he's got like this weird digital interface in his console, right? So he says they're being real quiet because Dark Rider's, you know, lurking around outside. He says, "Alex, don't make a sound." Alex goes, "Okay, TT." Literally a second later, without looking anywhere else, he reaches over to the horn and just goes, "Burp, burp." And then he just says, "Oops." It makes no fucking sense whatsoever. He doesn't even have a moment of, like, thought to process it. He's like, "Don't make a sound. Okay, TT. Burp, burp. Oh, shit." It makes complete no sense whatsoever. So, I mean, that writer's room just had to be drunk 100% of the time.
I feel like that character Alex is somebody that like you could easily manipulate with like reverse psychology. Like if you had been like, "Hey Alex, make a shit ton of noise right now," he would have been like, "Okay, TT," and would have just like sat there quietly and would have done nothing. But the second you're just like, "Hey Alex, don't make any noise," he just leans, "Meh, meh," like, meh, meh. Oh, it is so frustrating to watch. I'm like, you are this guy in a monster truck wants to do who knows? Like they never really like you said, maybe they explain like what Dark Rider's, like, what's driving him, like...
Exactly. I'm gonna make that horn sound every time you say something unintentionally funny like that. Womp, womp. Oops. Womp, womp. I think Baron is onto something, though. I think he's got some sort of fetish thing with the automobiles here. So I don't know what he wants to do to this kid who turns into a car, because that's, like, his Lolita, you know? Something ain't right about this Dark Rider.
Do you think it's just that maybe, like... I mean, how do they know what the name is Dark Rider? I mean, do you think this guy has just been, like, kind of bullied and, like, called Dark Rider? And so, like, at some point he was like, "You know what? I'm going to get, like, the biggest, baddest, like, monster truck muscle car, and I'm just going to, like, bully other people." Like, it's somebody being bullied turning into a bully.
I would like I would like to see the expose on Dark Rider, where he is now. Yeah,
exactly.
Where are they now, Dark Rider?
Behind the music.
Behind the monster truck.
Behind the monster.
Oh my god. Well, if we haven't convinced you guys to go check the show out now, I don't know what else we have to do, man. It's a kid that turns into a car and back again, sometimes halfway, to your generous discontent. It's delightful. You guys have anything else you want to say on this?
I had one final thought.
Go for it.
Did anybody so the doctor or the scientist who's conducting this experiment, mm-hmm. all right, is named Dr. Chase.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Like, do you think like Chase was supposed to be like that he's like chasing after Brett to like turn him back into just like a regular team?
No, I just assumed it was sponsored.
Just like a car chase.
I assumed it was sponsored by the bank and the loan company. I just assumed this whole thing was bankrolled by like Chase Manhattan.
It would have been really weird if it was like Dr. TD Ameritrade. Dr. PNC.
It would have made just about as much sense as everything else in this show.
I wish they would have just called him like Doctor Turned a Boy into a Car. Like, I think that was his name
they gave him when he came over from Ellis Island. That turned a boy into a
They're
car.
Like, oh, that's way too long. Way too long, buddy. We're just gonna, you know what, Dr. Chase.
Chase is good. Chase is a good American name. Let's just keep it that. Don't be up to any crazy stuff now. Dr. Chase. Anything else from you, Baron? Any closing thoughts you want to add to this discussion?
I've just got to imagine, like, Turbo Teen's, you know, first sexual experience as a boy car has got to be one of the most horrible things for both parties involved. You know, woman gets crushed under a car. Boy, boy just has his, confidence smashed for life. But what do I know?
That's amazing. My brain literally never went there, and I don't know why. I'm glad.
Do you think, like,
yours did?
Yeah. Of course, you know what? The children in the bus that he landed on top of, they all survived.
So yeah, they were fine.
Obviously, he's the lightest car out there. So,
well,
do you think that Matt, that, like, when he's in a car form, like, he's only interested and turned on by other cars?
Well, I don't know. When he was playing that video game, he certainly seemed to be mounting that thing pretty well. Oh, so maybe it's all technology.
He was riding that game pretty hard there. He was pumping, an adult situation. Yeah.
Oof. That was all Stranger Danger.
Stranger Danger, Video Avenger.
Stranger Danger.
Yikes.
So how'd you get AIDS, Turbo Team? Well, hooked up with a filthy video game.
Yeah. I was at a Radio Shack.
Yeah, I was in a real.
You got that computer virus. Well, I think that's as good a place as any to end this for today, unless you guys have any final thoughts on good old Turbo Team.
No.
Other than go check it out. You recommend this one? Recommend this to people to check it out?
I recommend this 100%. Go watch Turbo Team.
On some sort of drug.
Yeah, you got to see this. Yeah,
got to check it out.
Exactly.
Cool. So hopefully we'll be coming back to you guys again with another episode or another show to talk about coming up. We don't really know what it's going to be, but there are so many bonkers shows out there. I'm feeling like it might be Bots Master. I'm feeling pretty good about this Bots Master. I don't know what you guys think.
Bots Master is looking real good so far.
It's so insane. And that's saying something after today's talk, but this is a good talk. So hopefully, we'll come back and do this again. But now I'm going to give you guys a chance to plug anything you've got coming up after I do my spiel. So again, my name is Dave Trumbore. I'm a writer over at Collider.com. You can check me out over there, or you can follow along on Twitter at Dr. Claw MD, which just goes back to the Frank Welker comment. He's one of my faves. Sean, do you have anything else coming up? You want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Sean Paul Ellis, S-E-A-N. I'm also going to be performing in D.C. for the next couple weeks. I perform improv comedy with a group called Nox, spelled N-O-X, and you can see us on May 16th, 23rd, and 30th. All shows are at 10 p.m. at the D.C. Arts Center in Adams Morgan, and you can look for more ticketing information at WashingtonImprovTheater.com. I will also be performing at the Los Angeles Improv Comedy Festival, the 12th annual Los Angeles Improv Comedy Festival. And that will be Thursday, June 5th at 9 p.m. And you can find out more information at iowestcomedyfest.com.
That's awesome stuff, man. We will, when we load this video up and we get this online, we'll make sure to have links to everything there so you guys can check that out, too. Baron, anything?
I'm so proud. I'm terrible with self-promotion. Like, I actually, like, took 5 minutes and, like, wrote everything down.
Yeah, you did good. That was good. This is a good venue for it. So, Baron, you have anything coming up? I think you've got something at the end of the summer. But that's all I can think of.
Yeah. Nothing really nothing really crucial. No,
nothing life-changing?
No, nothing I'm married to. Yeah. But you can follow along with my nonsense on Twitter. I'm at MattSF07. Don't expect a lot of traffic there. I think my last tweet was sometime in 2011, but maybe I'll start it up again.
That sounds good.
Other than that, I ain't got jack shit.
Ringing endorsement. Well, thank you guys for joining us for the first ever episode of Saturday Morning Cartoons. We hope to see you again next time. Check out Turbo Teen. See y'all.